This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. For most of this hour, we're going to focus on the effect that the war in Iraq is having on the war against terrorism. But we want to bring you up to date on what's been happening inside Iraq today, some important developments. U.S. forces are approaching Baghdad from two different directions from the southwest. The 3rd Infantry Division of the U.S. Army is reported to be fighting for Saddam International Airport, about 12 miles outside of the city of Baghdad. U.S. Marine forces are approaching from the southeast. They are said to be somewhat further away from Baghdad. Joining us now is Dexter Filkins, a reporter for the New York Times, and he's with the 1st Marines. Dexter, I'm sure you can't tell us how close you are to Baghdad, but what kind of a day has it been?
Well, we had a crazy day, both good and bad. The bulk of the 1st Marines crossed the Tigris River today, heading east. Now, this whole column of Marines has been moving east with the intention then of swinging to the north and attacking Baghdad to the south. They pulled off a lot of that today. We crossed the river and then started heading north to the city. And as we did that, we passed hundreds and hundreds of Iraqis who were streaming out of the city. And the most remarkable thing about that, I think, is just the numbers of people who were leaving, but then the warmth with which we were greeted and waved to as we went by and as they passed us coming out. It was uninhibited, and it was pretty joyous. And that's in contrast to what I've seen over so many of the past days, a lot of tentative. People being very tentative with their emotions, I think in large part because they're worried that Saddam was going to hang on. And I think, as the Marines and as the Army get closer to the capital city, it's becoming clear to the Iraqis that maybe his days are numbered.
These Iraqis you saw streaming out of the city, this was out of which city? Al-Qut, where you crossed the Tigris?
No, out of Baghdad.
Out of Baghdad?
I mean, we were in Highway 6, not all of them. I mean, some were coming out of Baghdad, some were coming out of the surrounding cities. There was a lot of fighting, which I'll talk about. But we're heading straight up Highway 6, and that goes right into downtown Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
And as we move north, and this is a gigantic column of Marines. I mean, just when you stand on the road and look in both directions as far as you can see, it's trucks and tanks and soldiers. As this thing moved north, the Iraqis were streaming south.
And what kind of resistance did you meet?
Well, I mean it was kind of a yin and yang day. I mean, we had the really warm reception from your average typical Iraqis coming out, but then we ran into a really fierce pocket. I think it was larger than a pocket, but it was several hundred Iraqi soldiers. May well have been a large chunk of the Republican Guard that had been guarding the approach of the city, but we had to stop. The Marines had to stop the convoy and go and take them on. And usually in the past several days, these things have been pretty easy, and they get rid of these little pockets in a few minutes. This one took several hours. There were a lot of bombs dropped, planes called in, tanks, the whole thing. I know some people were wounded. As I speak to you, and it's late here, and it's pitch black outside, the ground is shaking from the bombs that are being dropped. Just thunderous, earth-shattering explosions. So it's not over yet, and there's still a lot of fight in these guys.
So when we're told by commanders here in Washington that the toughest fighting may lay ahead, you're seeing some of that perhaps right there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not clear where the rest of these guys are, and there's a lot of speculation that they've already retreated back into the city. And if that's the case, then I think, there's going to be, the chances are pretty good, there's going to be some pretty nasty fighting up ahead.
What can you see there at night? I assume all the lights are off in the convoy to avoid making yourselves a target. Can you see the explosion of the bombs that you feel?
Yes. Yes. that's about all you can see, and that and the stars. Actually, it's so dark here that the only thing that really is bright is the stars, and they're wonderful because you can see all of them, and they sort of they light the sky up. But we just drove north in the dark, and boy, you're totally blacked out, no lights, no nothing. And trust me, it's really difficult to drive behind, sandwiched between two giant marine vehicles going 30 miles an hour and hoping you don't run into the back of one of them. But if you stand, I mean, I'm sitting inside of a tent as I speak to you, in a marine camp right at the forward edge of this big column. And if you walk outside and they drop what must be a 2,000-pound bomb on some position there, it's just, like you get a gigantic flash and the earth shakes and rumbles a bit, and then you wait for the next one.
One thing that we've heard is that the summer temperatures have begun to arrive in Iraq. What was it like today in terms of dealing with the heat?
Yeah, very, very hot today, very hot. And it really, people were, I was with a kind of smaller group of soldiers, and so we didn't actually have a lot of water with us, and it actually became a problem. But, it's desert weather, so it's really hot during the day, but it really cools off at night. In fact, to the point where it's cold. So I would think that the temperature now is varying, 40 and 50 degrees over 24 hours.
Dexter Filkins, good luck to you. Take care of yourself.
Thank you very much, sir.
Dexter Filkins, a reporter with the New York Times, and he was telling us what it was like for some of the Marines moving up towards the outskirts of Baghdad today. NPR's Mike Schuster joins us now from Kuwait City, and he'll give us more of an overview of today's developments. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Neil.
We heard, what can you tell us about the battle that is said to be underway on the other side of Baghdad, the southwest side, at the airport?
Well, actually, there have just been a couple of reports from embedded reporters that, in fact, that fight at Saddam International Airport might be over. I'm not sure about the details, and there have been somewhat contradictory reports for the last couple of hours. Saddam International Airport is a large airport, and it has a military and a civilian component. U.S. Army troops attacked it a few hours ago. As I understand it, they attacked the military side of it. This is about 12 miles, actually, from the center of Baghdad. The reports through the evening said that there was fairly light resistance, but there was some resistance at the airport, and now we're hearing that fight may be over.
That's 12 miles from the center of Baghdad, so clearly at the news conference earlier today, Secretary Rumsfeld was not off by much when he said they're in the outskirts.
No, not at all. Clearly, the lead elements of the 3rd Army Division, which pushed through past Karbala yesterday, just didn't slow down and were moving all day today to get up toward Baghdad. I think that there was some light resistance along that road, but there didn't seem to be much resistance at all. And it accounts for the fact that they are at the airport and are so close to the center of the city now.
As we heard earlier in our conversation with Dexter Filkins, he couldn't tell us exactly where his unit is, of course, but they are said to be a bit further away from Baghdad.
Yeah, it sounds like they're maybe 20, 25, 30 miles from Baghdad, and it also sounds like the Iraqi resistance coming on that road, which is to the southeast of Baghdad, has been tougher. It's interesting, too, because yesterday when this huge marine column, the lead of it swung around Al-Qut, the Republican Guard there was said to have been destroyed, and they collapsed, essentially. But as the Marines have moved closer to Baghdad, there are other Republican Guard divisions, which analysts have said might put up a stiffer fight, and it sounds like they have.
Perhaps they have. Other people, though, worry that these troops, the Republican Guard, is withdrawing into Baghdad, hoping to set a trap. I mean, you've been hearing, comments, U.S. trumpets were on the outskirts of Baghdad, and Iraqi officials say, great, we've got them right where we want them.
Well, that's the question that a lot of Allied commanders and everybody else was asking today. What is the meaning of the fact that there was so little Republican Guard resistance as U.S. forces, both from the southwest and the southeast, were approaching Baghdad? Is this some kind of a trap they've laid? But the Allied command said today that they're not really sure. They wouldn't take a position on this, but they said that aerial bombardment has hurt these Republican Guard units as they've pulled back toward Baghdad. They've been continually attacked. We're seeing many more surrendering troops today. In fact, the number of troops that have surrendered to U.S. forces might have doubled in the past 24 hours, and seeing a lot of people coming out of Baghdad. There's even a report that that soldiers in Baghdad fled Baghdad and surrendered to the Marines closer to Al-Qut. So it's hard to get an answer to that question. Is this a trap, or is this the process of the disintegration of the Republican Guard? And I guess we won't know for a little while.
Mm-hmm. And just on prisoners of war, the Minister of Defense for Britain said today 9,000. That's not a number that U.S. Officials have used as yet. They just said more than 4,000, which is the number they've been with for some days now. Mike, further south, Basra, the big city in southeastern Iraq, surrounded by British forces. The fighting there has intensified.
It hasn't, but this has got to be a puzzle for Allied commanders. Basra, for the better part of 2 weeks, has resisted British attacks and has resisted falling to British troops who have encircled the city, and they've been bombarding it with air attacks and with artillery, but there's still said to be 1,000 or more Iraqi militia inside that are holding the city. And today, British troops moved into some of the neighborhoods of Basra, the outlying neighborhoods, for the first time, and did chase some of the Iraqi irregulars away. But still, they don't have this city. It has more than 1 million people. Humanitarian problems are growing in the city. And you would think that if that's the way that Iraqi forces have defended Basra and have behaved for 2 weeks in Basra, it might be a model for how they may fight for Baghdad, but on a much larger scale.
Also today, Mike, several incidents that appear to have been friendly fire involving aircraft.
Yeah, I don't know too much about these, Neil. And in fact, the Allied command hasn't given a great deal of detail, but it looks like some U.S. troops, I think, were fired on by an F-15 somewhere. I'm not even sure whether the commanders have said where in Iraq this has taken place. So we're waiting for more details about that.
And the other one, a report of an F/A-18 that may have been targeted by a Patriot missile battery, and that after an incident earlier in the war where a British Tornado was in fact brought down, and its two crew members killed by an American Patriot missile that over Kuwait. Mike, the other question that a lot of people have is about those long lines of supply leading up to that big Marine convoy that crossed the Tigris and the 3rd Infantry Division that crossed the Euphrates and is on the outskirts of Baghdad. Those long lines of supply that run through the cities like Najaf and Nasiriyah. Have there been more incidents there?
Well, there's been some skirmishing. There was a very incident in Najaf today of U.S. troops, U.S. Army soldiers inside the town close to the Mosque of Ali, and there were some very irate Iraqi citizens there. But as far as supply lines are concerned, we're not hearing the same kind of reports that we heard a week ago. We began to hear a week ago that the lead elements of both the Marines and the Army had outstretched the supply lines, and water was short, ammunition was short, food was short. We're not hearing that now. And in fact, during the past week, supplies have been replenished to both columns of troops heading toward Baghdad, and forward operational bases have been established in the desert, much closer to the action. So until we hear that, in fact, they've outstretched their supply lines again, I think we have to assume that the logistics people have conquered that problem, or at least for the time being have conquered that problem.
NPR's Mike Schuster with us from Kuwait City. Thanks very much, Mike.
You're welcome, Neil.
Some of today's headlines here at NPR. President Bush gave an upbeat assessment of the war in Iraq today in a speech at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. He also met with relatives of U.S. servicemen and women killed in the conflict. NPR's Don Gagne was there. He'll tell us about it later today. Also, Secretary of State Colin Powell is in Brussels meeting with European foreign ministers. He says the U.N. should be a partner in shaping a post-war Iraq, but the U.S. and Britain should take the lead. More on that from NPR's Emily Harris later today on All Things Considered. Here on Talk of the Nation, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to check up on the war on terrorism, and specifically, how has the war in Iraq affected the ongoing struggle against terrorist groups around the world? Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.